You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
And good afternoon. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sherry.
And we're ready to have a conversation with you today about something that I think is going to potentially be a game changer for him, babe. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be super good. If you don't know, this is part three of a three-part conversation. We've been talking about teaching your kiddos to listen and to learn in a world that's always talking. So, but before we do, babe, you want to kind of bring us up to speed on what's been going on in our house lately?
What am I supposed to bring them up to speed on? Well, we had a wonderful Easter.
We did, yeah.
Let's talk about, we always do an Easter egg hunt with our...
Oh, this is fun. I actually said that to you because you were looking at your notes. And that's why I said it to you, so I want to throw you off for a loop. So.
Well, you did for a second, but I'm right
but
on track.
You landed on your feet. Well done.
So anyway, we do an adult Easter egg hunt and...
Now it is because our kids are getting older.
Yeah, right? But I mean, not all of our kids, but they're all heading into that. So it's more of they're honestly probably too old to do Easter egg hunts, but we still do it because it's a lot of fun. And we have given our kids, they know, and they really enjoy it. So, but we've given them the chance to, you know, obviously we fill them with a little bit of candy, not much, but it's more, they look for, each of them can find one golden egg a piece.
Yep.
And it has just turned into something really cool. I a couple years back, I was following a lady from Tennessee, and I watched her do this really cool thing where her kids are married and they have small kids, and they would all come over to her house for Easter, and she would do, you know, they had really little kids, so they would do a tiny little Easter egg hunt, you know, where they're just barely in the grass and they're looking for them. But then she would do an adult Easter egg hunt later in the night when it was dark, and she would go hide them. I mean, it was like, you know, it was dark enough that they had to use flashlights to, like, they were like taking their flashlights and looking for the gifts. But she was able, and obviously, they were at a place in their financial journey that allowed them to really bless their family. But so she would turn this into an event where she would literally hide in their, like, in their eggs, their golden eggs, like a trip to Hawaii for one of them. The other one was like a gift card to a really nice restaurant. Another one was like, hey, I'm going to watch your, you know, your kids for, you know, a weekend. Or, I mean, it was just, it was amazing stuff.
I want to go to that Easter egg hunt.
I know. Well, it made me, fun. I was like, that is so incredibly, like, who would not want to come and have Easter?
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously we celebrate, you know, going to church, but just the after part was, I don't know, it was just really fun. So I told you about that and I was like, I really want to start, because Easter egg hunts, like, our older kids were like Easter egg hunts. You know, they were kind of losing their interest. Like, they can go buy candy. Why would they want to look for candy?
Right.
You know, but we just kind of incorporated, you know, some of their favorite candy, but then hit some really cool, like, so we would put money, like, I mean, this year we put like a movie card in one of them.
Yep. Somebody got $40. Yeah. Somebody got, what? Was a 40, a 20, movie pass.
And then a couple of fives.
A couple of fives.
Yeah, but it was just, so, I mean, it depended what golden egg they got. Yeah. But it was just, so now they look forward to the golden egg. And I just kind of want to build, I mean, obviously we're not doing, like, trips to Hawaii or anything at this point, right?
Well, I think the point is, like, keeping play. Like, we've done Easter egg hunts for years.
Yes.
And then as they got older, we're like, you know, we got this idea from this lady, And the fun thing is, like, Easter is still fun. It's still playful. And, of course, you know, as Christians, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. That's central to our lifestyle.
Absolutely.
But we still also have a ton of fun. You know, it's just, and the kids actually look forward to it.
And we play some games. So this Easter has been a really fun time. And I'm glad that our older kids, they could have the choice to do, you know, whatever they want at this point, but they choose to be here. And that is honestly why we want to create that kind of an environment where they would want to be with their parents.
Well, it's interesting because one of our daughters and her boyfriend, they went to eat dinner at her boyfriend's house.
Yeah.
But they stayed.
Yes.
After church, they came over for the Easter egg hunt.
And her boyfriend
participated too. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was just fun. Anyway, so I think, you know, I think just keeping, like, the older that your kids get, I think finding creative ways to... I mean, really make your home a place where those, even those adult children would want to come. Yeah. And guys, I mean, sometimes we can get old and curmudgeon. So I just challenge you to put the curmudgeon aside and really just like enjoy, you know, just have some fun. Put in some fun things when they get older. So anyway, yeah, you weren't expecting all that, were you?
No, I mean, you nailed it. I was trying to catch you flat-footed. And hey, listen, I mean, we talk a lot about creating an environment in your home. And if you haven't listened to podcast number 3, we spend a whole podcast talking about how to create a great environment in your home. I mean, it's something that you do. You do create an environment. The question is, are you being intentional about it? Are you creating a cool environment, a good environment, healthy, hopeful, happy environment, productive environment in your home?
I wanted to say just one other thing quickly before we move on. I mean, because one of the things that we also do is we still give our kids, I mean, even our adult kids, we give them Easter baskets, but we're very intentional about what goes in them. And like this year, we put in a devotional or a learning book. One of them was called Atomic Habits.
Atomic Habits. Our older kids got the book Atomic Habits.
So I think going along with, you know, just like, again, that intentionality, even around the holidays, just thinking through what are you wanting your kids to learn? What are you wanting them to know? Along with the fun. So yeah, that environment and intentionality is really important.
Cool. Hey. Yeah. Wow. Nice intro, babe. You nailed it.
Yeah. High five.
High five to you right there. There you go. All right. So, we've been talking for the last couple podcast episodes about the fact that we live in a culture in which a teenager can grab a phone and literally have the same platform to speak from, the same stage to speak from that the President of the United States does. I mean, they can get on Twitter or X now. They can get on YouTube. They can get on TikTok. They can get on, you know, any social media platform and potentially have access to millions of people. And so as a result of that, like, everybody's talking these days. That's not changed for, you know, as long as humanity's been alive, people have been talking. The difference is that people who used to would not have had a gathering can now accumulate massive gatherings and speak into the lives of millions of people.
Right.
And your children are listening. Mm-hmm. They're listening. And Proverbs 18:2 kind of has been a guiding principle for us. It says, "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." And if you get on social media, you're going to see lots and lots of people who aren't particularly interested in understanding. They just want to speak their piece. They want to air their opinions. And our kids are listening to this. And so, you know, the catalyst for this conversation has been this question: how do I teach my children to listen with discernment? Mm-hmm. In a world in which everybody's talking, how do I teach my children to listen to people who are worth listening to? Because just because you have a stage and just because a lot of people are listening to you speak does not mean that you're worth listening to. And so we're asking this question: how do we teach our children to listen with discernment? And so we said there's three ways that as a parent you can kind of shape and develop this concept in your children of listening with discernment. Number one is, you, mom, you, dad, model the way. You show them how to listen and how to learn, how to listen with discernment, how to gain knowledge and become better from the things that you're listening. And that was podcast number 12. If you haven't listened to that, I would encourage you to do that. But I think the one big takeaway is that your children are watching you, and the kinds of inputs that you are consistently gleaning from, they will probably lean towards that kind of inputs as well. If you're listening to a lot of trash and just nonsense, that's probably going to be the direction that they're instinctively going to go. And I would also say that if you receive feedback from a spouse or a boss or a friend, and you don't receive that feedback well, and you push back on it and you get defensive, again, you're teaching your children how to listen.
Absolutely.
They're watching you. Yes. So if you want your children to listen with discernment and to learn from the feedback that you're getting, you have to model the way.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, we talked about this in podcast number 13, monitor their friends. That's a really big deal. The kids, well, so we talked about Jim Rohn and what he says, that you are the average of the five people with whom you spend the most time.
Yeah.
And the truth is that your kids are spending more time with other people than they are with you. When it comes to school and sports and recreational activities, they're with other people more than they are with you.
Yeah.
And they're listening. And so I would just say, parents, if you want your children to become healthy, happy, productive adults, pay attention to their friends, because mm-hmm. their friends are talking and your kids are listening.
Right.
Right?
They can find more on our podcast.
Podcast number 13.
Yes.
Yep. Excuse me. And so today we're going to talk about the third way that you can teach your kids to listen with discernment. And I think this is an important, I think they've all been important, but I think this is a really important one. And we're going to talk about managing their calendar. We're going to talk about managing your kiddo's calendar. Now, your kids have a calendar. Whether you know it or not, they do have a calendar, right?
Yeah.
And this calendar shows, you know, it really shows the five W's. Who, what, when, where, and often why. You know, what are they doing? When are they doing it? Where are they doing it? With whom are they doing it? And these are the things that end up on the flyers that come home from school, right? The little notices that you get in the email from your kid's school or from your kid's recreational league, whatever that may be. Those are the things that fill up their calendar. What you got?
No.
Man, I'm just teeing off here.
It's all right. Tee all right. I'll okay. jump in.
So we talk a lot about the five W's, right? Who, what, when, where, and why. These are things you ought to know about your kiddo. So, just real quick, Wikipedia search, right? I don't know if we're supposed to use Wikipedia as a reference point, but it's solid. So let me just read to you what Wikipedia says about the five W's. It says, the five W's are questions whose answers are considered basic in information gathering. They are often mentioned in journalism, research, and police investigations. They constitute a formula for getting the complete story on a subject. So listen, if you want to know what's going on in your kid's life, start thinking about the five W's. What are they doing? When are they doing it? Where are they doing it? With whom are they doing it? Why are they doing it? And there's an amazing amount of information that can be solicited about your child's life. And you can figure out a lot about why they're acting the way they're acting. And I will tell you, most of this information is captured on the calendar. It's an amazing tool, Mom and Dad, the calendar.
Yeah.
All right. Now, jump in here anytime, Pam.
I definitely will.
All right. So I'm setting you up. Is that what it is?
Yes.
All right. Dad, listen to this. Mom, you need to hear this. You have power. All right.
Amen.
Yeah, okay. Is that where you're going to weigh in?
Yes, let's use that. I mean, too many parents don't realize they're the parent.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, guys.
Here we go.
You have the power.
You have power. Now, let me tell you specifically what I'm thinking.
Goodness.
You have the power of the car and the wallet.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
In addition to other powers you may have in your child's life, those are two very specific ways that you can manage,
yes.
You can influence your child through the vehicle,
yes.
or transportation. They have to get places. Guess who takes them there, right? And they need money. And guess who generally funds that, especially when they're younger?
Right.
Right? And so here's what I want to say. Use that power. You have a lot of say in their lives when it comes to where they go and what they do when they get there based on those two things, right?
Right.
Money and transportation.
Well, and I mean, this is what drives me crazy. I just find a lot of parents, I don't know if they don't sit down to take the time maybe to answer the five W's.
Yeah.
Or they just don't even want to deal with it. And so they don't use the word, the two-letter word.
N-O.
Right? They don't use the two-letter word. That's
right.
So, I don't know if they're afraid to disappoint maybe their children or to cause... I'm not really sure. I mean, obviously when we use the word no, there's typically a kickback. So maybe
sure.
that's probably, like, we just don't want to have to answer or worry about the kickback. So we just feed them or give them whatever they want, right?
Right.
I mean, so.
Because sometimes it's easy, right? Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's easier just to say yes and then you don't have to, because you're so exhausted, you don't have the energy for the fight that no will bring.
But I feel like that is a spot where, I mean, if we can start working through those and not just quickly give a yes, we can be more intentional about who they're listening to and what they're learning, right? I mean, right. And that's so, a simple way is like, no, I'm not taking you today in the car. And so, you know, if you're not taking them in the car, they probably most likely can't get there.
Right. Or no, I'm not going to give you money to go and you know, go to that event or
yes.
whatever. Now, here's the thing. Again, we're not talking about overpowering your child at every turn. Don't be an abusive parent. Don't be that person.
Right.
What I'm saying is, what we're saying is that you should use those leverages that you have as a parent to guide your children and to put them into places where they're going to hear from and they're going to listen to positive, healthy voices.
Exactly.
There are some places I'm definitely going to take my child. Right?
Yeah.
There are some people I'm going to give my child money so they can go and have, you know, eat out or hang out with that set of individuals because I know when they're in that environment, they're going to be learning and they're going to be listening and hearing good, helpful things.
Well, we have a couple teenagers and so they're in youth group and I cannot tell you how many times I've gone out of my way to grab kids. To fill my car up, you know?
Right.
I mean, and yes, that is, you know, my time, that is my money, that is, you know, our, you know, like our wear and tear on our car, just all kinds of stuff, right? But in the end, I am saying yes, because I know the inputs and I know the people that they're with, you know? I know that they're going to learn. The things that they're hearing is good and positive. So, I mean, I think we do say yes to things that, like you're saying, that are going to be really helpful to them learning and making good choices.
Yeah, I mean, so it really comes down to where are your kids going? Who are they hanging out with?
Right.
When are they hanging out? I mean, listen, so for us, I mean, I don't want my kids at 10 o'clock on a school night hanging out, even if it's a good activity. I mean, so I got to pay attention to when as well, right? Because
yeah.
I want them to be getting enough sleep, but...
and I don't want to be out that late.
And I sure as heck don't want to be out that late.
Oh, gosh.
So I can tell
hashtag
these things
old.
On the calendar. I'm not old, babe. You're old when you
hashtag.
Say you're old.
Hashtag.
Stop.
I love it. What time do you like to go to bed, dear?
Oh, I'm like, if I could be in bed at 8:30, I would be the happiest man.
Me too.
Yeah, I know. But it generally isn't that way. It's generally
our kids don't appreciate
9:30
that.
Or 10 o'clock. But we get up early. But anyways, so listen, if you want to know what's going on in your child's life, and oftentimes if you want to know why they're acting the way they're acting, look at the calendar. Look at the 5 W's. What are they doing? When are they doing it? With whom are they doing it? Big, important questions. And then realize as a parent, you have power. You have power to leverage, and you can use that power to guide them and put them in good places where they're listening and hearing from good, healthy positive influences.
Yeah, I mean, remember, what are we working to create? We're using this power to create children that grow up to be just responsible and influential adults, right? I mean,
yes.
That is the end goal. The end goal is, I mean, the goal is not to make them as miserable as we can make them, or to, I mean, we just have to keep all the time that future picture in our minds of what we want for our children, you know, and that is to be responsible adults, right? That are happy and contributors to the world, right?
Well, I've started saying this all the time, like, the world needs your kid to be great, and greatness starts at home.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you, it this is a powerful tool. The calendar is a powerful tool, and if you're using it to manage and guide your child's life, it's an incredible, well, I keep saying tool, but it's an incredible tool, really, to help shape the direction of your child's life. Now, Proverbs 14:7 says, stay away from fools, for you won't find knowledge on their lips. Like, there are some people I know, man, if you hang out with them, like, you pretty much guess where this conversation is going to go. You pretty much guess, like, this is not going to be a profoundly helpful hour or 2 hours or whatever the case may be. And here's the thing. I can't be with my kids every minute of the day. But what I can do is put them in environments where they're more likely to hear helpful things that I want them to listen to.
Right.
And so I have a responsibility, especially when they're young,
yes,
to fill up their calendar with people and events from whom they will receive wisdom and from whom they will learn good, healthy, positive things. So,
well, I mean, I kind of want to tee off a little bit because you're saying like filling up their calendar. And for me, you know, I kind of want to just maybe go a little bit old school and just, you know, encourage parents to not have their calendar at every turn filled with something, right? I mean,
so,
I think that's wise.
What, now, when I say fill up your calendar, yeah, I mean, this is great. Let's dig into that, because I don't mean running all the time.
Right.
I mean, like, you have a say. In, I mean, the younger they are, the more say you have.
Yes, absolutely.
About their calendar. And some of that includes, like, hey, this is just playtime. This yes. is nap time. So yes. When I say fill up their calendar, I don't mean you're in the car going places and doing things all the time. I mean you're really, you've got a hand in the way their day looks.
Right. I mean, so like, honestly, you know, when they're little, if you're sitting them in front of the TV and watching, you know, having them watch TV all the time,
you're filling their calendar.
You're right. You're filling their calendar, but I would also encourage you to watch what you're filling their, you know, their calendar with.
Yeah.
If you are taking your kid to the park and they're around kids that are throwing tantrums all the time, I would say, mom, dad, watch who you're surrounding them with, because the truth is they're going to learn that, hey, if I don't get my way, I'm going to throw myself on the ground and throw a tantrum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they are, even at a very young age, are picking up, lots of, like behaviors,
habits, attitudes,
yes,
philosophies
that are learned. And then you as a parent, you know, will have to help them unlearn them. And that is not fun.
And I mean, I think we go back to this. Like, if you are perplexed about some behaviors that your child is exhibiting or some attitudes they have, take a look at their calendar. Like, ask the five W's. Who are they hanging out with? What are they doing? Where are they doing it? Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I say, you know, if you're worried about filling up your child's calendar, let me put you at ease. It's already filled up. Like, they currently spend their days doing what, with who, at
yes.
where, right?
Yes.
They're doing things throughout the day.
Yes.
And so, like, consider it. What is it that they're doing? Are they sitting in front of their TV in their room learning from, you know, some Nickelodeon character? Or are they spending the day with a soccer coach? Are they spending the day with some neighborhood kids?
Right.
Like, they're doing things.
Yes.
You know, whether you have it written down or not, they do have a calendar.
Yes.
And they are doing the five W's.
So I would, yes. So, I mean, in those W's, I would encourage parents in their calendar time. I mean, and I know, you know, come summertime, it gets a little more wide open because kids are at home or they're, you know, they're just not in that school setting, that structured school setting. So, I mean, I would just make sure that, you know, we're allowing time for creative play. I think, you know, creative play, if we're not careful, is completely going by the wayside.
Right.
You know, where kids just go out and they just don't need anything. Like, find a way to be creative and play, right? Take a bike ride. Get on a bike. Like, literally be in nature. There's so much to be outside. I mean, I think we need to bring kids back outside again.
I mean, to be
outside just is like refreshing to the body, refreshing to the soul. Run barefoot if you're in an area. I mean, like, I'm going to go on a tangent here in a minute. But, like, go barefoot. Have your kids put their feet in the ground. Like,
yep.
I mean, there's so much good benefit to these things of being outside that, you know, we as parents can get our kids all tucked up in the house and forget. Because maybe it takes too much effort, or maybe they get dirty, or maybe then they, you know, just whatever. Get your kids outside to play, to enjoy nature. And then I want to say, you know, incorporate times of solitude. And this can start from a young age.
Yes.
Incorporating times of solitude can be like at a nap
time. Quiet time.
Or, yeah, like I know when our kids aged out of nap time, it became quiet time. And
well,
they knew.
Let's talk about that. So when our kids were little, like we started this thing, like, every day through the summer, or when they were home, they had quiet time every day.
Yeah.
And it did two things. Number one, it gave Sherry, it gave you just a
space. It gave me quiet time.
Yeah. Like, there's no scrambling, screaming.
Yes. I mean, it gave mom a place of solitude,
yep.
which I desperately needed.
And so, I mean, that has just been a part of our rhythm. Like, they have always,
yeah.
that's part of their calendar. Like, every day you will have, like, however long you determine, an hour, 2 hours, whatever the case may, and you can do whatever you want. You can play, you can take a nap, you can watch a movie, but it will be quiet, and you will not come downstairs or wherever the case may be. And then as they evolved as they got older, we just said, hey, there's three things you will do every day. You will do something physical, something spiritual, and something mental every day. And it can be whatever, like a physical might be a walk, it might be working out, it might be, you know, swimming, it might be climbing, whatever. It's up to you, but you have to do something every day where you move your body physically. Every day you got to do something spiritual. I mean, maybe, and we didn't even tell them, I mean, we gave them ideas, but like you could pray, you could read your Bible, or you could take a walk.
Yeah.
You could meditate. You could, like, there's just any number of things that you can do to nurture yourself spiritually. And then mentally, you got to do something mental. And generally that was read a book, or listen to a podcast, journal.
Mm-hmm.
And every day you have to do that. And that was, you know, when they're younger, like once those things are done, you know, then you have access to like
maybe friends,
your friends or your phone or whatever. Yeah. And it's crazy. But now as our children are moving into their 20s, they still do this stuff.
Well, kids need that. They need to understand. I mean, here's the thing. I mean, we can talk about like the whole big rock scenario. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel like big rocks in first,
right? So I feel like
if you're not familiar with that, get on YouTube and type in Stephen Covey.
Yes.
Big rocks.
But like, if we don't teach them to put those big rocks in first, and then fill it with the medium and then the little, I feel like, you know, we kids will have a tendency, because they don't know.
Right.
They will have a tendency to fill it with little rocks all over the place, and then the most important things don't get done. So
the things that feed us
and make us healthy.
Right. I mean, so if we don't teach them how to do these things,
right,
how to manage their calendar will get filled up with minutia.
And then they'll
scroll their phone all day long. Well, and they won't exercise. They won't engage spiritually or mentally. They won't read books. They won't engage in meaningful relationships. And then one day they wake up and they're like,
yes,
I'm not ready for life. And
yes,
guess whose fault that is, Mom and Dad?
Yes.
That's yours.
Yes.
If your child grows up into an adult who's not ready for life, that's your fault. You're a bad parent, right? And so, we're telling you this right now so you can get ahead of the curve and raise great kids, because the world needs your kids to be great. And a part of this process is managing your calendar.
So I think too, you know, I wanted to bring up just two points about kids in general. You know, we noticed this in our family that in managing calendars, it can look different for different types of kids, right?
Oh, right, right. No, that's a great point.
So like we have kids that...
This is why you're on the podcast every week, by the way. What, like this?
Every
the...
single week?
Yeah, no, every
come
time.
Come on now, I helped raise these kids.
Well, I mean that too, but like this kind of wisdom that you're getting ready to drop is... It's just, this is why you're on the podcast.
You're funny. But our kids, we noticed, and you will start to notice in your children, if you're really watching and learning to get to know your children, that some are more social and some are more introverted, right?
Yeah.
And so the social ones just like really need that friend time.
Right.
And so I would encourage you, they're just bent that way. And so we, you know, learned that we need to maybe give those children more friend time, because that is just... That's their bent, right? And we don't want to destroy, because that's a precious gift to be a very friend-oriented person, right? It's a blessing.
Right.
But at the same time, so parents, if you have a child that is friend-oriented...
They're introverted.
Extroverted. No,
extroverted.
Right, they're extroverted. But if they're very social and they need that to thrive, you need to be teaching them for sure to have moments of solitude.
Yeah, yep.
For sure. Like you're not going to have to teach them to be a good friend. That's going to come very, very naturally. They're going to thrive in that. But the part that their soul is going to need, and all of us need, is a spot where we can have solitude. So I would encourage you, from very little till, you know, just incorporate that time of solitude when you see this beginning to happen. And really, they're going to push back. They're going to be like, I mean, and we've heard this, I don't like to read. Okay, well, let's figure out how to help you like to read, right? To figure out what you enjoy reading.
Just enjoy quiet.
Or, hey, just to settle yourself. And I will tell you, it's becoming, man, guys, it's becoming more and more difficult in a world where the phone is in our hands.
Where everybody's talking all the
time. Oh, my word, we're competing. And our souls really, truly need that quiet. So I just somehow create an atmosphere of a spot where there's solitude in the house and reinforce it.
And so here's something on that. I think that when your children are younger, and even when they're, you know, middle school and early teens, they don't know that they need that.
Oh, no.
They don't know that they don't think that they do need solitude. And
right,
then they start falling apart. And
yes,
just like... They're anxious and they're angry and they're tired. And as a parent standing back, you're like, I know what the problem is. Like,
yes,
you haven't stopped to refuel the tank.
Yes.
And so you simply have to teach them the value of solitude and put it in the calendar. Remember, you have the power of the automobile and the wallet.
Right.
You don't have to take them to everything, and you don't have to fund everything.
Right.
Right? And teach them solitude. And so, listen.
So look, then on the... All right, for you.
Well, yeah, I just want to say, you mentioned that each child is different. In podcast number 5, we talk about getting a PhD in your child. Right. Understand your child's way. Because if you have 2 children, you have 2 different people, and you cannot treat them alike.
Yes. Well, so, and then obviously the other side of the coin is that you're going to have a child that, we've got it on either side, right? Yeah. We've got 6 kids, so we've got to experience this. But then you have a child who's introverted. And, you know, those children really do love to be at home. They love to be in the solitude. They like, they're just content, you know? And as a parent, we've had to do this. Like, I would really work to push them towards good friendships, good social interactions, good social events, social groups. Not crazy, but just kind of give them a push a little bit, because their natural bent is going to want to be to stay home. But that social interaction and friendship is very much needed through life. And it's not on the phone. It needs to be in person.
Yeah.
So I would just encourage you to...
manage, you know, the calendar.
Find those friends that they really enjoy, and or that youth group or that sporting event, and really kind of just, you know, push them out there a little bit. And
I think we talked maybe about this a little bit last time, but sometimes life gets really, really busy and the calendar gets really, really full, you know. And I know if you have kids in school, you'll find that May and December are insane, right? Because schools put everything they can possibly think of in those 2 months.
We have discovered this after how many years? Insane.
But we talked with a parent recently where the mom just broke down and wept in the car because she's trying to get her child in everything that her child wants to participate in which her child wants to participate. And the mom is falling apart because she cannot handle this.
And she literally was just like, I don't know what to do. And guys, you do know what to do. You do know what to do. You, again, have the power to help them. Because here's the thing. If you don't, and this child keeps running and running and running. Not only is the mom falling apart, so the home is going to fall apart.
The child is not going to
benefit from this.
So I think a fair question to ask, if you are at a point where you're just so busy running your child around, Sherry, you and I were talking about this the other day, and you made a phenomenal point, again, which is why you're on the podcast, but you said...
You're silly.
You said, is this a season or is this a lifestyle?
Yes, because I feel like, too many times, guys, like... You know, our kids want to be in things and they're all really good things. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, like I have a child that wants to be an actor. I have a child that same child wants to sing. That same child wants to play volleyball. You know, I've got this child that is just, again, she's my socialite. She just wants to go nonstop, right? But so I'm, you know, there's a season, right? And so there's a season of volleyball. And then comes, and that was just crazy. And then there's the season of acting. And that was, and I remember we'd talk and we'd say, well, when the season of volleyball's done, we're going to like scale it back. But then our social girl came and was like, hey, there's the season of acting. And then I'm like, if you're not careful, parents can talk ourselves into saying, oh, well, this is just a season and we'll get through this.
Yep.
And before you know it, your season of 1 or 2 semesters has turned into 14 years of a lifestyle.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And then it's all done.
So the question you have to ask is this a season or is this a lifestyle?
And is it, yeah. Is it
because seasons, like you can do a busy season.
Yes.
You cannot do a busy lifestyle.
Cannot sustain it.
Your kids will fall apart, I promise you, right? And remember this, you have the power as the parent. You have the power of the automobile. You have the power of the purse. You can say no. You can manage the calendar. And you must do this. Because listen, if your child is running and gunning nonstop, it's not sustainable.
It's not healthy.
They're going to have problems. And you will too. You will be the parent sitting in the car falling apart.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, so again, there are busy seasons. We have walked through them. I mean, we've walked through very like, oh my goodness, where I'm literally, I'm making dinner and we're eating it in the car,
yes.
You know? So like there are those seasons, but you really have to watch that that is not like every norm, season.
You're in trouble, and so is your kid, I
yes,
think.
Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we've seen it in our
we're
own
not,
home.
We're not built for that. No. Well, and you'll recognize symptoms of them falling apart, and they are crying, maybe some fighting and bickering.
Excessive fighting and bickering.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
That's kind of part of the course.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you'll have these signs of, and honestly, I would just say, look at your child too. I mean, you can start to see it in just
fatigue.
In them.
They're just
tired.
Fatigued. Yeah.
They're, you know, maybe their school grades. How are they doing? Are they keeping their schoolwork up?
Yeah.
You know, their bedtime. I just, they're just signs. And so parents, you know, we need to pay attention as parents to what we're allowing our children to do and how much to do.
Yeah. And inputs. I mean, listen, this is just the truth. You have so much responsibility when it comes to managing your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, take it seriously. Because remember, the people with whom they spend the most time and the people that they listen to the most are the kinds of people mm-hmm. that your child will become.
Yeah.
Right. And you're putting, you may be driving your child to hang out with people that are going to create a person you don't like.
That's not good.
You may be funding your child's demise. Like, pay attention to the calendar.
Yeah.
And use your leverage well, you know, the automobile, the money, to shape their life.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Put them in places where they're going to be with people that are going to be worth listening to.
Yeah, that I mean, that'll put them in the right direction. I mean, it seems like you have a long time with your kids, but you really don't.
No.
It goes, I mean, honestly, I mean, when they hit, I want to say 16, I felt like when our kids hit 16, they were just a foot out the door.
Yeah, no, they started getting a
you
job.
Know?
And then, yeah, it's true. I mean.
So I just, you know.
We've had it happen four times now. We do. It just
it's
really
just a
does.
Foot out the door, and you have influence, but. Those young years are really important in establishing that influence.
Well, I mean, you said something about making sure that you're in their lives in the early part. And
yes.
I would say, dad and mom, incorporate yourself into their calendar. Like, make sure that you are a part of their activities and their life. And I will tell you, as a dad, one of the best things I've ever done is date my girls.
Yes.
Every girl, every week. And then, you know, that's changing now as they get older and our schedules just, I mean, they're working. We still spend time together, but it's different.
But and I think in the younger years, that was...
it was huge.
It was extremely important for you to go... So the reason I didn't, I mean, it could go either way. I didn't date them per se so much when they were younger. It was because I was with them. I was at home with them.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time enjoying and, you know, making memories with the kids where you were at work. So I really wanted you to have... And you really wanted to have that good time.
Yeah, we put it in the budget. It was a line item in the budget. Dates with the girls. We've talked about that in the past. But the other thing I would say is, like, years ago, I started working out with my girls. And that was... I like to work out, and we started doing it together.
Yeah.
And it's crazy now because my 21-year-old, my 20-year-old, they will still come in. My 16-year-old and I, Ash and I, are getting ready to do a powerlifting competition together, right? But it just started spending... It was on the calendar.
Yes.
And... I incorporated myself into their life, doing something that I enjoyed, and it turns out we enjoyed doing it together, and now all of us, still, in different ways, will work out together, right? So, I mean, that worked for me. You got to find your thing, but incorporate yourself into their calendar. Now, here's what I want to say to you as we start to wrap up. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, he said, "My child, listen when your father corrects you. Do not neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." And I guess I want to look at myself and I want to encourage you to look at yourself and say, ask yourself this question. If my child listens to me, and if my child does the things that I am saying, will they be a better person? Solomon said, if you know, he encouraged his kids to listen because he said, if you do, you'll You'll get a crown of grace and you'll have a chain of honor around your neck. You will be a good person if you listen to my counsel. And so, Dad, you know, I would ask you, Mom, I would ask you, are you speaking things into their life that will make them better? Are you worth listening to? Or are you just like another YouTuber who's just spewing foolishness?
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to have fun, and there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure that you are carving out time to speak goodness and wisdom into their lives. It's super important because you are the teacher. You are a fundamental voice in their life, and they will be better or worse because of you.
Yeah.
So pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, babe?
Yep, I agree.
Anything else?
Nope.
Hey, babe.
Hey, what?
If people listening right now, if they wanted to find us on the social medias, where might they find us?
Oh, okay. Well, you can find us on our YouTube channel. You can find us on our website at www.firsthalfparenting.com. And then we also have some financial books on the resources page, as well as we are on Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts. All you need to do is search for First Half Parenting.
And Facebook, oh, Instagram.
Yep, thank you.
Yep. Hey, we're talking too, right?
Who?
Me and you. Like, we're talking.
What do you mean?
We've been talking for the last 30 minutes about how we want, like, everybody's talking and everybody's got a stage.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's funny. Yes. Please listen to us.
Yeah, it was me. It was the delivery on that joke. Sorry.
That's funny.
Anyhow. Yeah. So, hey, check us out on Facebook, Instagram. You can check us out on YouTube. Go to the website. Sniff around there for a little bit. See what you find. Hey, if this podcast is helpful for you, will you please help us get the word out? Like, share it on your social media. Share it with your friends. Let them know that we're having conversations that are helpful for parents. So we'd appreciate that a ton. And as always, if you have questions, you can shoot them to us at, you can DM us on Facebook or Instagram, or you can just send it at paul@firsthalfparenting.com. And remember this, the world needs your kids to be great.
Yes.
And greatness starts at home.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.